Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Over the years, many of us have found ourselves in difficult situations, in circumstances where we have needed help. A child, perhaps our own child, gotten lost in the woods, and an entire community bands together to search for that little one, and they search day and night until that child is safely brought home. And everyone is thankful. People from all across the country come together in the aftermath of a catastrophic disaster to help those that they don't even know. They've never even met. In order to help them to recover, to rebuild their lives. And everyone is grateful. In all of those circumstances, how did we respond? We responded with appreciation for what had been done for us. We responded with thanksgiving. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter reminds us that we should have the same response to God for what He has done in saving our souls. We should respond with thankfulness, with gratefulness, with appreciation for the gift of our salvation that has been given to us through the sacrifice of His Son. How else could we respond to Him? And Peter reminds us that the evidence of our thankfulness can not only be heard in our words of praise, it will also be seen in our lives, in our desire to live for Christ and not to live for ourselves, in our willingness to discipline ourselves so that our thoughts and our lives truly bring honor to Him. That is thankfulness. That is how we show our thankfulness to God, by living for Him. And even if nobody else sees, even if nobody else knows, He sees, He knows, He knows how grateful we are. He sees our lives. He sees if we've gone off course. He sees if we're being influenced by the world, but He also sees our heart. He knows if it is our desire to live a life that is set apart to Him, a life that longs to be with Him, that's the right perspective. And that should be our perspective if we truly are thankful. Christ released us from our bondage, didn't He? A bondage to sin. He freed us from the slavery of our wicked way of life. We know that. Released us from the blindness of a hopeless spiritual condition. Set us free from our lies. And He released us through His blood. That's how He did it. Through His precious blood. And we need to constantly remind ourselves of that. That what it cost Him to free us was His life. His death paid the debt for our sin against God. That's a sobering thought. Christ is the perfect, sinless, spotless sacrifice. And so we will forever sing those words we find in Revelation chapter 5, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. For Thou wast slain and didst purchase with Thy blood men and women from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." For He was foreknown, Peter says in verse 20 of 1 Peter chapter 1, "Pro genosko," It was the plan of God to rescue us from an eternity of separation from Him. It was forever in His mind. It was forever in His heart. But the only way that we could be rescued was for Him to send His Son to suffer in our place. He's the only one who could do that. He's the only one who could deliver us from the enemy of our souls. He is the only one who could rescue us and safely bring us home. The one who reigned forever in the glory of heaven. So, before the foundation of the world, Peter says, pro kata boles kosmou, when there were no stars, when there were no planets, when there was no universe, Christ existed, and He was chosen by the Father to be our Savior. My chosen one, God says in Isaiah 42:1, the one in whom my soul delights, He is precious to God. Christ is precious to Him. He's precious to us. And God let us know that He would send His Son, didn't He? Look in the Old Testament. Everything there points to Him. The sacrifices pictured the one who had not yet come. The words of the prophets anticipated the coming of the Messiah, the anointed one who would be sent from heaven. But then, according to the plan of God, verse 20 says, according to the fullness of the time, when the right time came, we're told in Galatians 4:4, God sent forth His Son. It was all according to God's timetable. At that moment of time, Jesus entered the world, born of a woman, we are told, being both God and man. And He appeared, Peter says, Phanerou. He became visible. The invisible God became visible to us, and He walked among us, and we beheld Him. We beheld His glory. We saw God. He was revealed from heaven, Peter says in these last times, eschatu ton chronon, in the course of human history. A historical event took place. An event that will determine our future. An event that will really determine our eternity. The most important event that we will ever consider. And that is the birth, the death, the resurrection, and the glorification of Jesus Christ. And to ignore this event, as so many people do, is to do so to our eternal devastation. Why? Because, Peter says, He has been made manifest. He has been revealed. Why? He says, for the sake of you. Our consideration of Him is not just intellectual. It is not only factual, but it is personal. Because we who have been rescued are rescued only through Him. We are only rescued through His blood, through a personal relationship with Him, through the power of God working in our heart. So now, Peter says, we are transformed into what, verse 21 says? Into believers in God, pistos, the believing ones, the faithful ones, the obedient ones. Christ did that. We have come to God, but we've come to God through Christ. Now, amazingly, we have a relationship, a personal relationship with the God of the universe. And there's no other person. There's no other way that this could happen. We are only true believers in God. Only true believers in God the Father. If we belong to the Son. Why? Peter says, because it is the Father who raised him from the dead. He raised Christ from the dead. He is alive. And why is that so important to know? That's the evidence. That's the proof that his sacrifice for us has been accepted by God, that it is sufficient to pay for our sins. So to reject Christ is to reject our only way, our only hope of ever being rescued. So now God has given him glory, Peter says, doxa. He has poured out honor and majesty, given him a name above every name, crowned him with glory, it says in Hebrews 2:9. Crowned him with honor, seated in the heavens at the right hand of God. So that now your faith, your belief, what will carry you through this life, your hope, your confidence in your eternity, they are now in God. God will rescue me, the psalmist said in Psalm 49:15. He will rescue me from the power of the grave, and he will take me to be with himself. The psalmist knew he will take me to glory. God has provided the way to glory through Jesus Christ, his Son. So, Peter tells us, verse 22, since you in obedience to the truth of the Word of God, you have believed the message of salvation through Christ. Now you have then purified your souls. Hagnizo. You're cleansed. You are no longer defiled. Christ has cleansed you of your sin by taking your sin upon himself. So now, your life is sacred. Your life has been set apart to God, but you didn't do it. He did it. So it says in Ezekiel chapter 36, God says, I will sprinkle you with clean water. I will cleanse your filthiness. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will save you from your uncleanness. We are no longer defiled. We are no longer unclean because of what he has done. There is a moral cleansing, a spiritual cleansing that takes place when we come to Christ. That continues through our entire life until we get home to glory. It's God who's working in us. He's working in us through Christ. He works in us. He gives us a new heart, doesn't he? A heart that is filled with his love. Given to us through the Holy Spirit who lives within us, who belong to him. We're new creatures. We're a new creation. Now, for the first time in our lives, we have the ability, we have the capability to love the way that Christ has loved us. It's amazing. Even though we have the capability, we don't always have the desire, do we? We don't always want to love like that. Sometimes we choose not to love each other. Peter wants to understand this important point. If we are truly thankful, if we are truly grateful, we are thankful for the salvation that we have, then we who are the body of Christ, the true church, we will want to love like that because we will want to please God. We will want to please Christ. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, Jesus said in John 13:35. How will they know? He says, if you have love for one another. That's how the world will know us. That is how the world will know that we belong to Him. How? By the way that we treat each other. And how will we know? John says we'll know that we've passed from death to life. He says this in 1 John 3:14. How? He says, because we love the brethren. We live in a world that is dominated by selfishness, that is dominated by self-seeking and self-satisfaction. But we are to shine in our selfless love for each other. Be devoted to one another. What Paul said in Romans 12:10. He says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Why? It's because you're part of the family of God now. So stand up for each other. Support one another. Give preference to one another. That means to think of others in the body more than yourself. Show appreciation for each other. Treat each other with honor and with respect. Then the world will see Christ in the church. True salvation changes us. This isn't a natural feeling, is it? This isn't a natural way to live. But now we have a new heart, so we can love like that. So, Peter tells us in verse 22, have a sincere love for the brethren. Show them love, Philadelphos. Show kindness to them. Care about them. How? He says, in sincerity, in anapokritos, without hypocrisy, without superficiality, without phoniness. Be real. Really care. Really care about your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that will be our testimony to the world. Our testimony that there is a supernatural love that comes from God that we have, that we show to each other. So, Peter says, fervently love one another from your heart. Ektenos. Love with intensity. It's a word that was used in athletics to describe stretching your muscle to its fullest length. Stretch your love, Peter says. Stretch your love to its furthest limit. Is that how we stretch our love? And when Peter uses the word love in this part of the verse, he changes it. He uses agapeo. Stretch your love to the limit in a sacrificial kind of love. In a love where you are willing to give everything for each other. That's the kind of love that should characterize the church of Jesus Christ. No wonder the world would be amazed if they saw that kind of love in the body of Christ. They saw that kind of love between us. Peter says that should be our response to our salvation. We should have that kind of love. We should show that gratitude to Him by treating each other that way. So, by fervently loving those in the church, who are we loving? We are loving those that Jesus died for. We are loving those who belong to him, those that he shed his blood to redeem. So how are we to love? With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. We're to love each other the way we love the Lord. Well, that may not be so easy. Some of us are not so easy to love. But how can you say you love God? John asks us that question in 1 John 4:20. How can you say you love God and you hate your brother? You hate your sister in Christ? You've never seen God, yet you've seen your brother and sister and you can't love them. John says, you are a liar. You don't love God at all. The truth is not even in you. You are deceived. But if we truly belong to Christ, he will cleanse our heart of our selfishness. He will cleanse our heart of our hatred. And we will forgive each other the way that Christ has forgiven us. And then we will love each other with the love of God. This may sound impossible for us. And it is impossible for us. But with God, all things are possible. And now, because we have a new heart, we have a new nature. Now we have the power of Christ within us. It can happen. Peter reinforces that. He says this in verse 23, for you've been born again. You're not the same people. You are agaganeo. You've been brought forth just as a child is brought forth into this world. But you've experienced something different. You've experienced a spiritual rebirth. By the power of God, your life has been transformed. When Christ died, you died. When Christ was raised from the dead, you were raised. So now you are a new creation. You're no longer the same person. You are not of earthly seed. Those are the basic elements of life. The source of life. He says, that's not you. If we plant a seed, it's natural that it will grow. But as we know, that has a very short life expectancy, doesn't it? A life which is perishable. Phthartos in Greek. All life runs its course. Eventually, it decays and it dies. But the life that we now have in Christ is different, Peter tells us. It is imperishable. Ah, phthartos. It has no end. It never decays and it never dies. Why? Because God has intervened in your life. He has given us a new life, an eternal life in Christ. So that now, through or by way of the living and abiding, the menos, the enduring word of God, the logos, the truth of the scriptures, that's where we find truth. Now, you have a life that is imperishable. And then to perhaps reinforce this thought, Peter quotes from the Old Testament, quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, and he gives us a reminder of the brevity, the shortness of this life and of our need of a Savior, and perhaps he's calling for us to have a thankful heart because time is running out. Life is short. So in verse 24, he says this, for all flesh, all life, our existence on this earth is like the wild grass of the field. It's fragile. We all have a specific time, a specific length for our existence on this earth. And all of its glory, the beauty of our life, our accomplishments, whatever they may be, our education, our abilities, our strengths, our health, our wealth, our wisdom, our relationships, our family. It's all like the flower of the grass. It's wonderful to look at. Incredible to behold. It brings us joy. Brings us satisfaction. It may even be breathtaking at times. But it's all here for a short time. Our lives are like that grass, like that flower of the grass. It's true that we are here today and we are gone tomorrow. The grass withers, Peter says. Kereno. It fades. Decays. It dries up and it blows away. And the flower? The flower falls off, Peter says. At Kipo, it shrivels up, falls to the ground, and it dies. Death does not differentiate between the rich and the poor, or between the educated and the uneducated. All those who are in the grave are equally dead. But the word of the Lord, Peter says, the rhema, the specific word concerning our salvation through Christ, our new relationship with God, that, Peter said, abides, that endures forever. Our salvation is imperishable. And that is the word. That is the word that was preached to you, he says. The word that you have believed. The word you've believed with all of your heart. You've believed that he saved your soul. That is the word in which you stand in faith and in hope. So just as we possess a salvation that will never die, so we are to have that kind of love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. A love that knows no limits. A love that never fades away. That is how we are to show our thankfulness for our salvation. That is how we are to respond to Christ. We are like that lost child in the woods. The one who was lost, but has been rescued by Christ. How are we to respond? Peter says we're to respond with gratitude. And the evidence of our gratitude? What is the evidence of our gratitude? What is the evidence of our relationship with Christ? He said that will be seen in our relationship with each other. Yes, we are to love God, but we are also to love each other. To love each other from our heart. From a heart that has been purified through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.